Sudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 16, the Pile Vrata Process of Worship, text number 24. Shri Kashyapu Vacha Etan Me Bhagavan Prishta Praja Kamasya Padmaja Yad Aha Te Pravakshvami Vritang Keshava Toshanam Shrikashyapu Vacha Etanme Bhagavan Prishta Praja Kamasya Padmaja Yadahate Parvakshvami Vritam Keshava Toshanam Shrikashyapu Vacha Etanme Bhagavan Prishta Praja Kamasya Padmaja Yadahate Parvakshvami Vritam Keshava Toshanam Shrikashyapu Vacha Etanme Bhagavan Prishta Praja Kamasya Padmaja Yadahate Pravakshyami Patam Kesavatosanam. Ladies. Etanme Bhagavan Prishta Praja Kamasya Padmaja. Vidaha Deva Vishami Vitam Kesavatosham Sri Vishapu Vacham Etame Bhagavan Krishna Prajavim Vasupadmati Yarahate Pravakshyami Mritam Keshavatoshanam Shri Krishapu Vacha Etame Bhagavan Krishna Prajakamasya Pradmaja Yarahate Pravakshyami Shri Kashyapu Vacha. Kashyapu Muni said, Etat, this, ne, by me, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Prishta, when he was requested, Prajakamasya, desiring offspring, Padmaja, Lord Brahma, who was born of a lotus flower. Yet, whatever. Aha, he said, Te, unto you, Prabhakshvami, I shall explain. Ritam, in the form of worship. Keshavatoshanam, by which Keshava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is satisfied. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Sri Kashyapa Muni said, when I desired offspring, I placed inquiries before Lord Brahma, who was born from a lotus flower. Now I shall explain to you the same process Lord Brahma instructed me, by which Keshava, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is satisfied. Purport. Here the process of devotional service is further explained. Kashyapa Muni wanted to instruct Aditi in the same process recommended to him by Brahma for satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is valuable. The Guru does not manufacture a new process to instruct the disciple. The disciple receives from the Guru an authorized process received by the Guru from his Guru. This is called the system of disciplic succession. Evam parampara prapyam imam rajarsayo bhutu. This is the bona fide Vedic system of receiving the process of devotional service by which the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased. Therefore, to approach a bona fide guru or spiritual master is essential. The bona fide spiritual master is he who has received the mercy of his guru, who in turn is bona fide because he has received the mercy of his guru. This is called the parampara system. Unless one follows this parampara system, the mantra one receives will be chanted for no purpose. Nowadays, there are so many rascal gurus who manufacture their mantras as a process for material advancement, not spiritual advancement. Still, the mantra cannot be successful if it is manufactured. Mantras and the process of devotional service have a special power, provided they are received from the authorized person. Om Ajnanatamanandasya Giranjana Salakya Chakshum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Kurtu Vachalam Pungundam Haite Grim Yakripata Raham Vande Shigurum Dinatanam Vanchakapa Tubhyascha Kripa Sundubhye Vacha Patitanam Bhavnevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivastri Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada mentions here in the purport that there's many bogus gurus that give manufactured mantras that actually have no real value. So we're very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada, he gave us this Maha Mantra. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ultimately he came to give us this mantra by which we can become purified of material desires and develop our love for Krishna. This Hare Krishna mantra, it's the key to pure devotional service. This is how we become purified. It's not easy to chant the mantra purely. We have so many material desires, so much contamination is there, so it's hard to focus and to chant purely the holy name. But practice makes perfect. So we keep trying. And Krishna will help us. The first word here, or one of the words here, is Bhagavan. Prabhupada translates this as the most powerful. And generally we know this Bhagavan, it's he with six opulences. But here Prabhupada translates it as the most powerful. So Krishna is very powerful. And the soul is also very powerful. Prabhupada mentions in one purport that the soul in its pure state is as effulgent as the sun. It's very powerful. Very pure. So now it's covered, you know, by material desires, material contamination. But we're in the process of uncovering this pure soul. Recently I was in Africa, going around trying to encourage book distribution. Started out in Nigeria. Don't worry, I don't have Ebola. Some devotees are a little worried. It's amazing how the media makes or creates so much paranoia in this country. How long I've been back. You know, it's amazing. When I went to the airport, even they didn't even ask where I was in Africa. You know what you're saying? So they create so much paranoia. But then you get to the airport. I mean, it's amazing. So anyway, it was a nice experience. In Nigeria, there's a lot of devotees. You know, West Africa, there's a lot of devotees. When I was distributing books, what I was telling the people, Krishna revealed a new mantra for me. The Sankirtan devotees might want to take note of this. I would show the changing bodies. And I was telling them that the soul is so powerful that nothing can kill the soul. Even the hydrogen bomb can't kill the soul. Nothing can kill the soul. And then I'd ask him, do you know why the soul is so powerful? No. Why is it so powerful? Because it's part of God. And He's the most powerful. Now, if you read this book, this will help you become very powerful spiritually. And 90% of the people I explained this to, they took books. Because people want to be powerful. Yeah. That's a great line, yeah. And it's true. We have a great deal of power in all of us, but now it's covered by false ego and lust and greed and envy and all these contaminations. But we're in the process of getting purified. And by reading these books, by chanting the holy name, this purity will come out. In Minan City in Nigeria, there was one businessman that was having some trouble controlling the senses. Had four wives, 24 children. In most of the countries in Africa, polygamy is still allowed. So this man had four wives, 24 children. And he just couldn't wonder, how am I going to get over this? So then he got one of Prabhupada's books. Oh, this is how to do it. Chant Hare Krishna. So now he's a devotee, and he is doing very nicely. He's actually the temple president of Benin City in Nigeria. Is it? Benin. Sometimes I say Benin, sometimes Benin. I don't know. Anyway, it's one of the two. So he completely fired up into Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So Krishna gave him some direction on how to control the senses. And all over the country, the devotees are traveling around. They're distributing books. So it was very inspiring. Then I went to Ghana. Ghana has a huge, nice community of devotees. They have a school there. 200 children are at the school. Of course, a lot of them are not devotees, but the parents of non-devotees, they know it's devotees are good, so they send their children to the devotee school, which is very nice. And there's 13 devotees that go out in a bus for 2 weeks all over Ghana, and then they come back and for 2 weeks and distribute books around Accra, which is the capital. So that was very inspiring to see so much book distribution and preaching going on in West Africa. Then I went to Kenya. Kenya is probably the most fired up. They're actually in Nairobi, in Kenya. That's probably the most fired up temple. There's about 35 devotees that go out every weekend on book distribution. It's the Weekend Warrior program. Very fired up. There's one lady there that's kind of pushing on the book distribution. I forgot her name, yeah. But very enthusiastic to distribute Prabhupada's books. And there's one devotee there. I asked how he became a devotee, and he said that his sister had somehow gotten a book. Oh no, there was some devotees going to door to door, and she got a Bhagavad Gita from some devotee. And she put it in a drawer and a desk there, and it sat there for 3 years. The time bomb effect. Tick, 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 tick. It's ticking away. So this one young man, the brother of this lady, he just looking through the drawer there, he saw the Bhagavad Gita and said, oh, what's this? So he opened it up and started reading it and found it to be quite interesting. So he started chanting, visiting the temple. 3 years later, he joined the temple, but not alone. His brother also found interest in the Gita, and now they're both distributing books in Africa. The sister, the one that got the book, she became a devotee also. The mother and the father also became devotees. The whole family became devotees. So this is the power of Prabhupada's books. You have to get the books out there. Just get them out there. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know it's very auspicious. The books go out there. You never know what's going to happen. But guaranteed, it's auspicious. And now we have the marathon coming up. Actually, there are some places that are already doing the marathon. Yeah, fired up book distributors. So now we have also the World Enlightenment Day. I think that's the 20th, I think. 15th. 13th. Okay. So we can gear up for the marathon, for World Enlightenment Day. I think the goal is 1 million books in one day. Actually, Jayapataka Swami, he told me that in the movement, we have about 1 million devotees. Of course, most of them are living outside In the early days, most of them were living inside, and very few lived outside. Now most live outside, very few live inside. But a lot of devotees, if everybody can just do one book of that million, there you go. A million books one day. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen, but thought I'd put it out there anyway. So it's very important that we get this knowledge out there. Just like Kashyapa here, he's inquiring from Lord Brahma about the absolute truth. And this is the sign of intelligence, actually. And it's stated, Parabhavastavadabhodajato yavanadigyasata atmatatvam, that as long as one does not inquire into the higher spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to many miseries arising due to ignorance. So everybody's suffering in this material world due to ignorance. So we have a lot of knowledge here, a lot of very, very valuable knowledge by which people can become free of their ignorance and understand who they are, understand who Krishna is. Atato Brahman Jigyasa, this is the time to inquire about the absolute truth. People are inquiring all over the world. But what are they inquiring about? Money. Where is money? Where is sense gratification? This is the inquiry. How to get more sense gratification? How to eat, sleep, mate, and defend? Ahara nidra bhayamaitanam cha samanya meta pashubi dharanam dharmasya dharmohitesam adiko viseso dharmena hina pashubi shamana. That the animals and the human beings, they have similar activities. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But the human form of life, in the human form of life, we can inquire about who we are, who God is, how to be completely satisfied. The animals, they can't do that. Yeah. Prabhupada said that if the human being doesn't inquire about these things, then he's a polished animal. He's wearing nice clothes, he has his nice home, got his nice car, but mentality, just the same. So, if we give this knowledge out to the people, then it gives some, you know, people start questioning. Why am I here? What is the goal of life? Because these Prabhupada's words are very powerful. So it gets people to question, you know, why am I here? It's like Prabhupada was in Boston preaching at MIT, and he was speaking the philosophy, of course, very nicely. And then he asked him, where is the course where you can inquire about the soul? Such a prestigious school, why can't you learn about the soul? And they were like, why can't we? Brought up some interest. Why can't we learn about the soul? So he planted that in their hearts. So these books, they plant these questions in people's hearts. Now very few people are even questioning. Just like previously, in the 70s and the 60s, early 80s. In the universities, so many students were studying philosophy. But now, they're closing down the philosophy department. Nobody even wants to inquire. Of course, if they study philosophy in the modern educational system, they're going to be very disappointed. There's so much speculation. So, we have the absolute truth, not speculation. Here it says that he was giving this knowledge as it is, parampara, not changing. Therefore, we have Bhagavad Gita as it is, parampara. So many other Bhagavad Gitas, but so much speculation. So this is the absolute truth. So we should be very enthusiastic to give out this this very valuable knowledge, this absolute truth. And here also it's mentioned that the Lord Brahma, he was born from Padmaja, which means from a lotus flower. Now, a lot of people, when they hear this, they're going to say, what are they going to say? Mythology, yes. That's the first word that will come out of their mouth. But actually, it's not mythology. It's just very high-tech birth. Just like now, the scientists, they're trying to create life in the test tube. Right? No success. They're trying so long to create life in the test tube. But no. But Krishna, he's creating life. Actually, every day, thousands of births. It's actually amazing. It's mystical. You know, just some seed goes into the womb of a woman, and a child is growing. It's just amazing. Yeah, it's completely amazing. And then it comes out, and you have so many beautiful people, intelligent, creative people coming out. It's amazing. Yeah. And sometimes it happens that even in the womb, one can hear, one can understand and retain transcendental knowledge. Who knows of the most famous example of the new devotees? Who knows the most famous example? Yes, Prahlad Maharaj, in the womb, is hearing from Narada Muni the absolute truth. And he's retaining it. He's keeping it. And when he comes out of the womb, he's teaching it to his classmates. Pretty amazing personality, huh? Prahlad Maharaj. So, even one can hear transcendental knowledge in the womb. And it's stated that some souls, they pray to God in the womb, because it's a very awkward situation to be in. You know, in the womb, it's like, you know, just very little space, you know, curled up. The one advantage that Prahlad Maharaj had, there was no distraction. Now there's so much distraction. You know, we can hear the absolute truth from the Bhagavad Gita, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, but then we step out and there's so much distraction. So in the womb, no distraction. So he had that advantage. So we can also become free of distraction if we take this process very very seriously. Krishna says, much citta sarva dogani mat prasada tarishasi atacha tvam ahankaram. I forgot the last one. Anyway. He says, if you become conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles on your path to pure devotional service. If, however, you act out of false ego and you don't hear me, then you'll be lost. So all we have to do is become conscious of Krishna. And we have this nice process by which we can become conscious of Krishna. These books, the holy name, association of devotees, the sadhus, you know, preaching the message of Krishna. So we have a great opportunity to get purified, to understand the absolute truth. So if we follow the parampara, then there's no room for change. See, the Prabhupada, he said that one of the diseases that his disciples has is that they like to change things. One of two. He said two diseases. One, they like to change things, and the other, not enough afraid of Maya. So this is one disease. He said the temple president, or some president will move into a temple, become the president, and he'll change so many things. Then he leaves, and another president moves in, and then he changes things. And he was so disturbed by the change. Actually, believe it or not, Prabhupada was very upset with what happened right here in Los Angeles. When we got this temple, there was pews here. And Prabhupada liked that. And there were stained glass windows. Rabindranath, he was here at that time. He's probably the only one that remembers. There's about two or three beautiful stained glass windows. And Prabhupada liked that. He liked the pews. The people could come in with their shoes on and listen to someone give the lecture. Prabhupada would give the lecture up here with a podium. And the devotees, you know, the senior devotees of Sunday feast, they would stand at the podium and they would give the Sunday feast lecture. And a lot of people were coming. Prabhupada liked it. But the temple president, he didn't like it. He wanted to move the temple room was over there, where the museum is. And it was a good-sized temple room. Anybody, were you there at that time, Archita? No. 75, 70, I think that's, you were here, that's right. It was smaller. Okay. So, but Prabhupada liked that. A lot of people were coming, right? So then the temple president just knocked out the pews and knocked out the stained glass windows, and Prabhupada came and he was so upset because he changed that. Because it was the floor too. He knocked out the pews and put the floor in. But a lot of people were coming. They felt more comfortable to come in and hear the lecture, you know, sitting at a chair, you know, the podium there, and with their shoes on. It's kind of interesting. So, and there was one devotee who went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you know, our movement is so nice. We have such a great philosophy. But there's one thing that's keeping people back a lot from taking on this Krishna conscious process. And that's four regular principles. Can we just have three regular principles? Is that possible? Just no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, just keep it at that? And Prabhupada said, no. I'm not interested in having many, you know, flickering stars. If I can just get one moon, it'll be a success. So no. But this devotee kept on pushing Prabhupada to do this. And Prabhupada said, no. If you want this, then you go out, you start your own movement. And that was the final, that was it. And Prabhupada was speaking about this one time, and he said, actually, we members of the Krishna consciousness movement were also gambling. Because we don't know what we're going to get from practicing. We have some idea that we're going to, you know, hit the jackpot. You know, go back to the spiritual world. But we don't know. We don't know what the result is going to be of our practicing Krishna consciousness. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, what is it? Of gambling, I am? Cheater. What is it? I am the cheat. What is it? What's the exact word? Cheats. Of gambling, I am cheats. So Krishna's saying, all right, you see, I told you, you know, I'm of gambling, I'm cheats. So I warned you. Me and Dutakarma Prabhu and myself were joking about this yesterday. So Krishna says, I warned you, of gambling, I'm cheats. So, you know, I might be cheating you here. And Prabhupada spoke about it. He said, actually, I've cheated you. I've given you, Krishna to take you away from your materialistic life. Yeah. I've attracted you. That's another thing. We also experience some intoxication. We get a little intoxicated sometimes, taking some nice prasadam, you know, and kirtans, very nice. Yeah. So there's two of them that we sometimes break. See, the Prabhupada, he was speaking about, he said, even if we're wrong, this whole philosophy is wrong, still, it's such a nice life. Isn't it? You know, we rise early, we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we dance 4:30 in the morning. I mean, who's dancing at 4:30 in the morning except for the Hare Krishnas? You know? It's nice. Yeah? It's nice association, nice prasadam. The whole process is so nice. So even if we're wrong, it's nice. It's still a nice life. Of course, we're not wrong. But he was speaking in this way. Kind of interesting. So, also in this verse, the idea is that we want to satisfy Krishna. This is the instruction that Kashyapa Muni is going to give to his Aditi, that you do this process and you'll satisfy Krishna. So the whole goal is to satisfy Krishna. This is the result, or this is the desired result of everything we're doing, is to satisfy Krishna. And I was listening, or I was just reading in one purport, Prabhupada said there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that gives the summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita. See if anybody can guess what that verse is. No. One more. We'll give one more. Any ladies, take a guess. No. Huh? No. Yet Kuroshi, Yadashnasi, Yaj Jahosi Didasi, Yet Tapasyasi Kanti, Yet Tat Kurusha Mararpam. It's interesting. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities you perform, should be done as an offering to me. He said, this is the summary of the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. So all that we do, we should be doing it for Krishna. Yeah. All we offer, all that we eat, everything should be offered to Krishna. Everything should be based around Krishna. So, stop there. Any question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. Whoa, a lot of hands went up. Phew. I saw yours first. Yes. He doesn't need a microphone. Actually, yeah, he doesn't need a microphone for us, but he needs it for the internet. He's got a microphone in his throat there. What's that? Oh, yeah. On the internet, they want to hear him too. It's not so loud that they can hear you all over the planet. So.
Hare Krishna. Test. Okay, the thing that really struck me with that verse is that Kashyapa Muni is a big daddy. You know, he's the daddy of the devas and he's the daddy of the asuras. Mm. And then his wife requested, I want a baby. But what really struck me, he's a big guy, Kashyapa Muni, he's a big guy. But he said, hold on, lady, I'm going to have to consult my authority. Mm. The impact of authority in a devotee's life, that impacted me on that verse. Mm, and I just wanted to share that with our new, you know, young devotees and even old devotees. We need authority. I mean, this guy is big. This is the daddy of all the devas and the asuras. Mm. But he said, hold it. We're going to check out my authority. Who is Lord Brahma?
Yes, we definitely need authority. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Many other hands on a Brigapati.
Thank you, Prabhu. I think it was mentioning in the purport how you have to get the mantra from authority, as he's talking about. So I'm wondering, what benefit of the people who are like chanting Hare Krishna mantra, but they've received it through some yoga thing or this or that, you know? Are they getting any benefit from that? Because there's also a verse where it goes, I can't remember the Sanskrit now, but putam karikatam ratam shravanam, so you know about how if you get the mantra,
from a
there's that point too made by Sanatana Goswami, that if you receive your mantra from an unbona fide source, it's like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. So that's there, but at the same time, you know, how do we understand?
Yes. Here's the sentence. Unless one follows this parampara system, the mantra one receives will be chanted for no purpose. It's a powerful statement. Of course, just by hearing the holy name also there's benefit. To chant the holy name, of course, there's benefit. But you don't get the ultimate benefit from chanting if we don't accept from a bona fide acharya the holy name. That's pretty clear. Archita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Vijay Prabhu. First of all, chastisement. Where's the video? Before you left, we talked about buying a camera. You bought the camera. You took it with you. Where's the video? That's why we have the big screen. Show us some Africa.
I travel all over the world, and I never lock my check-in bag. But this time, I forgot I was in Nigeria, and someone stole my camera. But, I mean, I did have some, but I got another camera. That was a good side, but I lost everything that I was recording. Yeah. In Nigeria.
All right, so next time be careful. And just on this last question from Brigapati Prabhu. I just watched a video of memories with Amarendra, and he brought up this point that Guru Maharaj, he was very popular at the time, and he was, it was an obvious faker, imitating Krishna and having his own gopis and stuff. So, but the devotee said, but Prabhupada, he gets people to chant Hare Krishna. Do they make any benefit? And Prabhupada said, they get some benefit, but it takes a long time, very, very slow. When you get it in this kind of fashion from a cheater. So better to get it from the right source and then you catch fire right away.
Savas Prabhu. Oh, I'm sorry.
The last part of that verse is that the desired result will not be achieved.
Right.
Sampradaya bihinaye. The last line is the desired result will not be achieved.
Okay.
There's going to be some result, but the desired result will not be achieved.
With his love of Krishna. Right. Thank you. Rabindranath Prabhu.
Yeah, just a little history of what you're talking about, the temple room here.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Sunday feast would have the begin at 4:30 with Artik in the old temple room where the Dal Museum is right now. And of course, people would take their shoes off for that. And then they would come into the sanctuary here with their socks on. Their shoes were still off. They wanted to put their shoes back on. And they would sit in. There were chairs here that they were on the screwed into the floor. They weren't pews, just chairs.
Oh, okay.
And then after the lecture, which was, we had a podium up where the deities are, they would give a talk. And then we go back and into the temple room again and have another kirtan. And that was the Sunday feast program like that. That was back in 71 when I joined. I mean, when I started coming in 71.
Rabindranath Prabhu has been here for 43 years. Haribo! Sachitanoi.
Haribo Prabhu, you were mentioning that, in Nigeria or in Africa, one devotee joins, the brother joins, the family joins. Similar cases are in Mexico or India and so on.
All over the world.
But very rarely we heard that, like in the Europeans or the Caucasian race, a family member and a lot of people join. Yeah. So can you just comment on that?
Yeah, well, we're... I don't know. Actually, in San Diego, there was one person. He got a one of these small books from Radhanath Prabhu. He had the wheelchair, and he became a devotee. And then his mother became a devotee. So there's one example. They're still devotees, initiated devotees now. So there's.
Would that be accurate, the verse that Kunti Devi mentions?
Yeah, that might have something to do with it. We have high birth. See, that's the thing. When I was in Africa, I was explaining this way of the soul being so powerful because God is powerful. Everybody believes in God there. So it was like really easy. It's actually very nice people, a lot of nice people there. But here, there's so much atheism, so it might be, you might... It might be a little more difficult, to give that example. Except for the Spanish people, they always believe in God too. So a lot of Spanish people here. So, yes, there's one person back there. Has his hand up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, I'm just one person. I came to the temple about 3 months ago. Yeah. I walked on my own. And due to what you just said about the chanting of the mantra, where do I stand? Because I have received...
Put the microphone close to your mouth.
Okay. Because I have not received no paramatma from nobody. It's just devotion that you feel to come and do it. I'm not a full-time devotee. I'm not even I don't even consider myself a devotee. I just have some devotion.
That's a good qualification.
And so I don't like to hear that what I chant and I do for Krishna, it has lesser value than people that has some disciple or whatever. My ignorance.
You're getting benefit by your chanting.
And I'm not here for the benefit. I'm not here for the benefit.
Okay.
I'm here for devotion. That's what I feel, and that's what
I
do.
Well, that's also benefit. If you develop devotion, that's very beneficial for you. But if you take initiation, then that kind of ends it up. You know, that
I have another question.
Yeah.
When you were saying about the soils in the womb, it's very little, very tiny, very microscopic, very molecular. But what happens when there is an abortion to that soul?
Mm-hmm. Well, the soul goes on somewhere else.
So the little thing just goes away.
It goes on somewhere else. Yeah.
I have a family, and I have conflicts at home. And with my offsprings, my daughters, and I tell them sometimes, yes, I give you this, my wife and myself, I give you this body, but actually you are not my daughter. You're just a soul in there, and that's what you're rebellious to me.
Wow, big realization.
It is what it is.
Very good.
More problems, but no problem. I'm here.
But still, there has to be affection for your family. Otherwise, you become impersonal. So still, there has to be some affection. But yeah, that's the pure understanding that you're an eternal soul. You've had many fathers, many mothers, and you know, right now you happen to be my daughter. Very good.
Yeah, I understand that I'm not myself.
You're not the body. You're the self.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
See, they want credit for karma. They're starting with a living organism. And the whole basis of this scientific presentation is that life came from matter. So start with matter and make life. And then we'll be inside. If you start with any living organism, then you're seeing. So, but their whole scientific basis of rejecting God, we don't need God, is that life came from somehow, like lightning or the pressure, or whatever. Matter became alive.
So do that. That would be real silence. If you can go into a lab somewhere with nothing but hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, create some life, even the smallest life, then we'll give it back. But we're always starting out with an animal. You see? An animal. And it takes some part of it and it flows. But you start with a living thing. You start out with hydrogen, nitrogen, you know, and all that, and then you create something. We know the souls are operating. Yeah, there's soul everywhere. There's a soul inside every atom.
Yeah.
And Krishna's there also. Krishna's in every atom, in between every atom. So if you take something that's already alive, and you take a part of that organism that's alive, it's just like taking a plant. Even let's go to a plant. If I can take hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, and create a jade tree, then that would be wonderful. But I can't do it. But if I take a little cutting from another jade and I make another jade, then that's not a big deal. It's already alive. So you take a cutting from a living animal and you create another animal, that's not a big deal.
And right now, I have a menu of jewels in the right now. I call them and they
And that's why they're cheating, because they're claiming that it's only chemical processes going on. There's no soul there, you guys are just believing fairy tales. It's just all chemical processes. So there's so many chemicals. Take them and make something that living. And they can't do that. They cannot do that. Something conscious, life, just dead chemicals. They can't do that. They always start out with chemicals.